I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello and welcome to the NXT preview. I'm Michael Sidgwick, joined by fellow Dudley boy Michael Hamford to discuss everything that's in store for us on tonight's show. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure to subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts, where we preview and review the show formerly known as NXT 2.0. Raw, SmackDown, Dynamite, Collision, pay-per-views, premium live events. We have wrestler interviews on occasion, roundtable discussions, lists, and a roundup of the week complete. The bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. Now, Hamflet,
yeah.
How are you feeling ahead of NXT spring breaking, dudes?
Oh, bro, it's just like, dude, you get the best barrels ever, dude. Just like, you pull in, and you just get spit right out of them. And you just drop in and just smack the lip. Whoop-a! Drop down, snap, ah! And then after that, you just drop in, you just ride the barrel and get pitted. So pitted, like that.
I'm feeling great, right? But not, I'm feeling better, in fact, than that guy.
You're always feeling great. You're like Tony Khan. We've been through this.
Love Tuesdays. I just work for Reed, me. Like, I'll get people into work on Tuesdays, watch Raw, and get hype for NXT. That's how you love Tuesdays.
Favorite day of the week, isn't it?
Yeah, oh, absolutely, yeah.
I love, and,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. It'd be remiss of me to say, it is Michael Hamflett's birthday today.
It is.
And you got your first present this morning. And you're getting your second present this evening.
I'll tell you a little story, because we'll be doing the Raw review later. Kind of tipsy-topsy-turvy day today, Sitch. Yeah. So we're doing the NXT preview before the Raw review, and we're doing it on the video, and both of us, you're better than me, both of us got a little bit Garth from Wayne and Garth from Wilborn's off now that we're doing the video reviews, don't we?
Yes.
It's like, let's just get through this,
shall
we?
Yeah,
So
I'm not better.
I'll tell the story now. I got up this morning to watch Raw. My usual excitement, bounding down the stairs. Like, it's my birthday today, but I get 52 of them a year.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's going to be great.
Not really. I
I'm down the stairs, tiptoeing down the stairs, stick Raw on, big telly, treat myself. And then I have to, in the living room, I've not ignored it, I've not no-sold it, but the living room has been very nicely decked out with some banners,
things
that my wife stayed up late to do last night, so that when I come downstairs, the kids can be like, Dad, Dad, close your eyes, open them. Surprise, happy birthday. Not really into presents, but that nice little bit of ceremony is like a nice thing before, because I'm first out to work in the morning, so it's a nice little treat for the morning. So I watched Raw, the bulk of it anyway, finished it on the training, and then had heard one of the kids shuffling around upstairs. So I had to go back upstairs, work being asleep, to then work. No way, what a surprise. It's the best birthday ever. It's like, I could have told them, every day can be your best birthday. Get up at 4 in the morning with me and watch the Fed. But they're just not into it yet.
No.
Just not feeling it. Well, I'm in a better mood than this guy. I need to tell you about this guy. The totally pitted guy.
Yeah, right?
He's back.
All right.
I'll show you a video when we get back in the office.
Oh, my God.
Like some news company. Like, hey, remember 10 years ago when the guy was pitted, totally pitted? Well, we caught up with him on the shores of Santa Monica, whatever, to find out how he's doing today. And he kind of admits that, like, most of the story he's telling is just a great big lie. And he's like, and she goes, the journalist goes something like, well, so you were like, oh, bah! And he's like, no, not really, dude. And she was like, so he, what's pitted? And he's like, I'm just kind of getting knocked over by a weed. It's like life has ground him down over the 10, 15 years. So I think if he's at least watching NXT, he's being breaking, dude, he's going to like get that nice reminder of when he kind of had it all to play for. You know, that youthful exuberance.
Yeah.
That you absolutely, let me tell you, don't get on your 39th birthday.
What like did he get as a present?
Nothing. That's not true. I got this month's edition of The Viz. I don't buy it regularly, but it's just a nice thing my wife has always done.
I always used to get the annuals for Christmas.
Yeah, she'll get me the annual for Christmas, but like the birthday, I get like that month's or fortnight. I don't know even how they're releasing now, but got The Viz. And this is actually might be of interest to you. 40 is when I'm going to learn to properly cook. We've discussed this before.
You're 39 now.
Yeah, I've allowed myself the remainder of the 30s to kind of be useless at this. The kids
still in my 30s.
Still in my 30s. Fact. The kids are going to be at an age where they're going to be like less arsed about what I'm up to. So I'll have a bit more time in the kitchen. I just feel like it's going to make sense doing it in my 40s. But we did recently, the last ones to hop on the bandwagon, partially gifted some money for an air fryer. So I picked one up. She bought me one of those cooking this in an air fryer cookbook. So it's almost like a baby step to the proper cooking. Like get going with this. Because it's, you know, it's like an oven and a microwave squashed into one that just sits on your kitchen side. And there's like a lot of, I'll be honest, in this cookbook, Sage, I was leafing through it, food that actually looks like real food.
Yes.
So it's not just a different way to heat your oven chips, apparently.
Air fryers are goated. Normal oven chips, there's certain that you learn the rules and you learn as you go. Certain things work like magic in an air fryer. Others, mildly disappointing. A steak cut or normal oven chip, it's just quicker, but you get that oven-y quality to an oven chip. French fries in an air fryer are even better than deep fried.
Ah, all right. Okay.
Deep fried just swallows them up and they become glorified crisps.
Yeah.
Air fryer French fries, absolutely goated. I make tacos quite regularly, or Mexican food quite regularly. It's part of which I hate, you know, that store-bought salsa, that really tomato-y, bitty, lumpy
stuff
salsa.
That people would use with, like, Doritos. And
yeah,
stuff.
I hate it. I instead
fourth
do
quadrant of those awful, like, four-dip things.
Yeah, I hate them. Yeah. So I do a roasted tomato salsa where I'll start the process by putting a hob on, no pan, leaning a tomato and a big chili pepper against the flame so you get the char.
Holding food against fire.
Yeah.
You're a maverick.
Honestly. This is my invention
you're
as well.
In the kitchen.
It's my invention.
Naked flame. You know,
naked
that
flame.
Let me get that pepper and really make it scream.
Yeah, make it scream. Make the tomato scream so you get the black char and that just builds flavor later in the process. And I used to oven the, so you do that to get the char, then you oven to get that pulpy roasted flavor. You air fry that son of a bitch, and it's just, it takes half the time, and you compromise none of the flavor. If you're looking for the rest of that recipe, incidentally, so you do that against the naked flame, you whack the tomato, the chili pepper, quite a few bulbs of garlic in the air fryer. It takes about 7 or 8 minutes as opposed to 22 or whatever.
Mm.
And then you blitz all that up, hand blitzer, chop up very, very finely some onion, lime, chop up some coriander, don't blitz it from there because you want a bit of texture, and then you leave it for like, do it in the morning and then leave it in the evening. It's the best salsa you'll ever eat in your entire life. We were talking earlier about birthdays.
Yeah.
And you're 39, and we said, you know, we're still in our 30s.
Yeah.
Speaking of, we're still in our 30s.
Yeah.
Sean Spears versus Rich Holland, who have a combined age of about 84, we've established, are in developmental. These hot new prospects, and they're going head-to-head tonight on NXT Spring Breaking. Dude, what are your thoughts on the match, and who's going to win, and how's it going to go?
Nobody wins, right? Because if Rich Holland gets it done, then Sean Spears will have this big old smile on his face that he's had his ass handed to him.
Yeah, right. It's like, I've always wanted CTE for my 40 years.
Yeah, like, that was the real quiz. And you passed. And Ridge is like, no, I didn't want to pass. So he'll lose by winning, right? If Sean Spears wins, Rich Holland hasn't been able to face his inner demons, obviously. So Sean Spears will be like, I have failed as a psychological manipulator.
Yes.
This stinks. This stinks.
You know who else doesn't win? Us, because we have to watch this very bland match because Rich Holland is an incredibly bland pro wrestler.
We'll probably not get the chance really to put him over on Raw, on the Raw review, because it was supplemental. But this is the best opportunity to bid farewell to Dijak from NXT. We were talking last week about who was
a supplemental draftee to Raw.
And he was great. Like in perfect keeping with his like posting era. And Murray was saying on the news, he basically just went, guess I'm on Raw now, lol, or something. It was like Zyjax pretty goated these days.
I think it was something like, I'm on Raw, by the way.
Yeah.
It was like, it was giving a seven. My new name's Seven, by the way. I love that deadpan delivery. It's so, it just completely buries it.
Not going to see me in this crap anymore. I'm literally just seeing you in it. You can fly. You chose to fly.
Yeah. Those vignettes, man. are the weirdest thing of all time. He makes, and I describe this in an article, is he's in a child's bedroom.
Yeah.
And he goes, join me in complete bliss. Oh, yeah, that's right. And I said it, that's what a porn star sounds like when the eighth inch has been gobbled.
Okay. I want, speaking of which.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Those vignettes,
so you're in a child's bedroom, Dustin.
I want the camera to keep like going past seven, right out the window, and go, do, dick, into the sky.
Dick. That's enough.
yeah, so Dijak is gone, and we had a... Problem is, when Wilborn's not in and we're talking NXT...
Sit, Ubu, sit. Good nonce.
Inadvertently gets a bit analytic on these pods in Wilborn's absence. So I apologise.
Yeah, sorry about that.
But we know...
Yeah, Wilborn's not in today.
Yeah. He's looking after Eric.
Yes.
So get well soon, Mrs. Wilborn, and Godspeed to Wilborn and Eric on his own order in the house. And, well, who am I saying Godspeed to there? Wilborn for looking after Eric. Or Eric for having to be around so much dad on a weekday. Yeah. Like,
hey!
What the hell's going on? What's going on, man? Reach out for mom. Yeah, we talked last week about Ilya Dragunov certain to be drafted. He was. And I didn't think Dijak would go because ignoring kayfabe and who's in line for title shots and whatever, there does feel a bit of a gap of the generic wrestler that can actually do this helping the wrestlers that can't. Sean Spears is now finishing class, isn't he?
He's producing as well.
He's that teacher. Not in the Andre Chase way. He's the player coach now on NXT, isn't he?
Yeah.
Sean Spears.
Yeah.
He's everything Cody said he should be in a kayfabe segment.
Yeah, he's John Carver.
I love the John Carver era of me.
The weekly
pat on our side of the water, that was. What's he done now?
John Carver, if you don't know, was my football team's caretaker manager, completely useless. We went from comfortably mid-table in December to surviving on the last day, relegation.
While he called himself statistically the best manager in Europe.
Because I consider myself the best coach in the
Random
world.
Numbers.
I consider myself the best coach in the world, and I absolutely believe that. And this is a shoot. I've got a mate, Neezy, who's like the most meek, timid guy, except when it comes to football, and he turns into this like animal and a raggy and like really sort of emotional, and he was just hurling abuse at the players during an away game when it's like there's fewer fans.
Yeah.
So you can sort of, if you were inclined and you were John Carver, to walk up to them, listen to the abuse and say, I'm trying my hardest, man. You're not helping this at all. It's actually your fault. And Neezy was like, oh, no, you're crap. And John Carver was like, come to training on Monday morning. We'll sort it out.
remember Rooney down the lens?
Aye.
Thanks a lot. Booed by your own fans. I've just like drawn with Algeria or something. Mate.
Yeah.
I think it's on you.
It's a rubbish.
Speaking of rubbish, this will be, but Ridge Holland wins. Like, he goes to question why he's so violent in the aftermath, but Sean Spears wakes up from the impending CT.
Big, like, lecherous grin almost.
Huge smile on his face. Yeah. You know why you're violent? Because I made you that way. Now the real work begins, and the Grimace Vibe tag team is born. That's where I think all this goes.
Yeah.
The Imperfect Tens.
Oh, I hate it.
Yeah.
Also on the docket, for Spring Breaking Dude. Well, much like the Jam, we're going underground. NXT Underground, that is, because it's going to be Natalya versus Lola Vice in an NXT Underground match. Now, I've completely trivialized it, but let's face it, this is a concept that needs no trivializing. However,
yeah.
NXT inexplicably, A, have brought it back in the first instance,
yep.
And two, haven't done the worst job in the world at it.
No, I would agree with that. It's another thing, much like a lot of the stuff out of the pandemic that's not yet really been reintroduced or explored by WWE, we talk about this quite a lot, that sort of fits in NXT. NXT has changed the rules of what is permissible within its own, what's that phrase you like that is very helpful? Narrative ecosystem.
Yes.
NXT's narrative ecosystem like can absolutely be stretched to accommodate Raw Underground now.
They can be stretched to accommodate anything.
Pretty much. Like it like what was one of the like Underground, Raw Underground.
You can kill people in NXT and get away with it.
Dijak as T-Bar. What was one of the other worst things about the pandemic? And a ridiculously long Apollo Crews match. We even had them in NXT,
yes.
And they kind of worked. Like, it does make sense when the weird stuff goes down in NXT. And I would say it's perfect. I like the build-up segment last week. Shayna Baszler came in as, like, Lola Vice's surprise accomplice, basically. She's well cast. Like, they've just had the No Quarter Catch crew doing that explainer of... yeah, talks about how Bloodsport works, and Shane is fresh off that.
Yeah.
You know, it's Triple H through Shawn Michaels raising the eyebrows at Josh Barnett, isn't it? Like, hey, Josh, you know, come over to Florida, we got just the place for you. Like, imagine Josh Barnett in NXT. That would be the funniest
oh my God.
Mix of energies.
Oh, my God.
Imagine, like, smashing up Chase U. Like, with, like, a what happened to this business look on his face.
It's like the ultimate like, fish out of water.
Yeah. I've made something happen there, haven't I?
I really hope I see it.
Josh Barnett's NXT. But anyway, and that's what we're going to get tonight with NXT Underground. Lola Vice should win. What's cool about this, earnestly, right?
Yeah, it's like that, allegedly.
So I've heard. Hit my music.
I'm Josh, what's his name?
Josh Barnett.
Barnett.
It's a, like, it starts with him. It's a cold open because I'm goddamn freezing. Right, and he just walks out. Natalia is... Natalia.
Unremarkable.
But and when she comes back to NXT, we have to sort of do this dance about...
Well, we don't have to do nothing.
Well, right, so...
I don't have to do nothing. No. I don't want to do.
Typically, a lot of people do the dance, right? It's like, great for the young guys and girls to have a mind like Natalia there. And then the match is happening, you're like, was it? Like, because I know
she's
what
had,
I saw.
You know, she made Lacey Evans look halfway competent once upon a time.
I think there's...
I mean, it was a 2¾ star, but we're talking about a dud wrestler doing that.
There was people of not insignificant renown at the time saying that the stuff she was doing with, I think, the Sarah Logan in 2019.
I've got something for you. I'm not being ignorant. I'm on my computer. You talk. I've got something very funny.
But what I was going to say was, Natalia's got, like, holds that she can apply that make sense within the context of Underground. She's going to lean on... what she learned in the quote-unquote dungeon, all that kind of thing. What is probably getting missed because of it being Natalia and people know her more is what's the main thing that we've praised Lola Vice for since she's like broke out on NXT TV? She's a good hold-counter-hold wrestler.
Yeah.
She's a good submission
wrestler. So few of them are.
Uh-huh. This is the environment. She's going to...
Good promotion.
Like, yeah. Like Natalia is going to like drag her to the deep water, as wrestlers loves to say. And then Lola Vice is going to counter. She's going to trap her in something. If Shane is there, slapping on the canvas, being like, yeah, get her. It'll capture that Bloodsport energy. It'll capture that Underground energy without needing Shane McMahon there to go, sick. Like, get Shane in. Who would be a good host on NXT to do the Shane role of just like standing there with a microphone, giddily commentating on the whole thing? Who have we got? Like,
he's very NXT coded.
What, that version of Shane?
Yes.
Yeah. Like, could Vic Joseph could do it? He could be sick Vic for an hour.
Well, he probably will be doing it.
Just stood there.
So here's what I was going to tell you, right? Okay. I don't know what this pertains to. I've forgotten why I decided to do this.
Mm.
On Natalia. And like, oh yeah, she's a ring general, allegedly. Mm-hmm. So someone's tweeted on X. Username Edward Takeshi. And a take I don't disagree with, purely because Bryan Danielson can literally do no wrong at all. So it's a clip of Orton versus Bryan in 2013. Night of Champions. The TV series was far better, but that's by the by. Daniel Bryan against WWE homegrown mainstays are such great matches when you don't have a pretentious, purist Twitter MF telling you they're bad. I completely agree.
Mm-hmm.
I completely agree with that take. Daniel Bryan is a sports entertainment babyface. It was absolutely incredible. Yep. And you can like that stuff, to me, almost as much as his AEW output.
He just saw it as a genre, and he was like, well, I like getting good at... I like getting good at different wrestling genres.
This guy who's just done the best move stalemate of all time.
Yeah.
Underneath. This is like, well, what we're doing here? What are you doing here specifically? Someone's responded. Randy Orton is like a peak wrestler. Obviously not for the viewers, but he's constantly being praised by other wrestlers as being easy to work with in the ring.
I love it. I love this take.
Like, why do you like it?
I just... like, imagine I was thinking our jobs are a bad example because we're so privileged to sit here for a living. But like any job you've ever had prior to this, any job of anybody listening to this now, right? Imagine you go to work that day and you work with a colleague and you see them every single day, right? And the colleague just repeatedly alienates your boss. Like they alienate the customers, the people that you have to deal with, whatever. It doesn't matter what job it is. But like your boss and the customers are just like, oh man, I cannot take him. But you work with him every day. And he does like all of your work. He does all of it.
Yeah, and you're like,
and you're going home and you're speaking to your better half or your family, and you're like, it's amazing working with him. He just does all of it. It's like the bosses have no idea. The customers, he's rude to the customers. They kind of hate him. Like they think he's the worst guy we've got in the company, but he does all my work. I think he's great.
Yeah.
That's Randy Orton.
I know.
Through like the rest
wild.
Of it. Love it, man. We went out there.
It's like a pillow.
20,000 people.
It's like working my pillow.
20,000 people screaming, going crazy before the show started. We didn't do a goddamn thing. Right, well, I'm one of the 20,000,
I know.
I want to have a good time.
Absolutely wild. All right, Natalya and Lola Vice will have a fun, distinct kind of match. And I think they'll get the tone of it right as well. Hopefully they'll feel like they are messing each other up in there. Okay.
Like Lola Vice wins?
Yeah, when I go through these previews, I forget that people want to know. I don't care personally about any match outcome. Very few of them anyway, across every promotion. Yeah, why not?
Just big picture, I think they're quite good in NXT. Like when the people come down, like look at Baron Corbin and the Wolf Dogs, look at Becky Lynch and Lyra Valkyria, and now look at this potentially. The programs, they are like, they do serve the purpose of getting an NXT person over in a way they haven't done previously.
Yeah.
It is there as like a tool of elevation.
Sean is an idiot and his world that he's created is fake and abhorrent.
Yeah.
But he knows he's productive.
Yeah.
He is productive. Right, okay, well, there is a big match coming up. A big old match here. And a big match. There's only one real soundtrack to the big fight feel.
Yeah.
And that is... Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
Down, down, down.
Yeah. Down, 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 down,
down, down,
down. It's Thea Hale versus JC Jane.
Yeah.
So here's the story, if you somehow missed out on the fight of the century, 8 months in the making. JC Jane. Ew, 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 is a bad apple, and she's going to school. And she decides to lead astray the innocent, enthusiastic, and wholesome, and good Thea Hale.
Yeah.
What happens is, with minimal cheating, just pure advice and friendship and association.
Encouragement, confidence boosting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thea Hale, who is a lovable loser, but she's green as a character and indeed as a wrestler, just starts winning matches with a hold taught to her, not by her academic institution. It was the No Quarter Catch crew before they were so named. So now here's Kimura, and she's like, right, I'll win matches with that. I want to chase you anyway. And then it...
But her gear is a little bit more vulgar than it used
yes.
to be. So she's gone off the rails.
She's gone off the goddamn rails. And then what happens is that Andre Chase... loses Chase U a lot of money. JC Jane, despite holding the belief that they are complete losers the entire time, goes to the effort of making the money back on behalf of Chase U with interest.
Yep.
Doesn't even take any off the top. It's this big sort of long-term scheme.
That calendar, that mafia.
Yeah.
She had multiple strands of ways to get his cash back.
And she gave them all back without taking anything from the top whatsoever. Then she just suddenly, after doing all of this, says, are the losers.
Yeah.
And then Thea Hale takes umbrage with that, now having the match. If you go back, which we've just done, beat by beat, chapter by chapter, it's a terrible story, and they got it wrong every step of the way, but we're here now. And I'm not into it.
It's the big payoff, isn't it? Yeah, the detail that we have to add for listeners that, again, might have not tracked all of this, and I'm sure there will be one of them awesome. You know, WWE with the Bloodline put those YouTube videos together. I want one on this. I do. Because at what point in this, JC Jane thinks they're losers, but is doing more for Thea Hill than anybody ever has. Does she come to realise that Andre Chase put the bet on Thea Hill to win? Because that's this other detail. Andre Chase lost all of Chase U's money gambling on Thea Hill to win and threw the towel in, sacrificing the university for her. A real, like, babyface trait that was just not remotely explored until the big payoff 2 weeks ago, long after JC Jane and be like, you freaks and losers, get the hell out of my way. And by the way, here's what happened. It's like, Well, when you were still in with them, if you'd have told them all that, they probably would have been like more open to the calendar
or the
fundraisers. Yeah. Like they would have been like really, you were what? But no, you went and did that all yourself to gain credibility with who?
Yeah, I know.
I love it.
Will the match be good?
Oh, God, no, the ceiling is through the floor. Like, yeah. I love Thea Hill for what she can do, but we'd be bad analysts if we didn't talk about what she can't. Like,
that's wrestle.
Yeah, like, she can't. Her big moments are really cool, and her career.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Before we go any further, though, this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, we all carry around different stressors. They can be big life worries or just, you know, little things like your favorite wrestler not being used properly. The thing is, when we keep them bottled up, it really can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever is weighing you down. It is really helpful too for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. Therapy basically empowers you to be the best version of yourself. So why not give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and best of all, suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/whatculture today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/whatculture.
Isma is very believable, like proper old-fashioned babyface fire that shouldn't really work in 2024, but again, NXT sort of breaks the rules. It's almost too earnest for its own good, but maybe it was time for a character like that to come back around again. And as a result, things like the Kimura, things like her big babyface comebacks go down an absolute storm. A lot of the waiting around for that is pretty bad.
Oh, yeah. And transitions don't exist, hardly.
Not really. Like, the connections are pretty loose. JC Jane, I don't think I'll ever quite know what JC Jane offers. Need a facial expression? She's got them all. Need a good match? Not a promise. But she has sort of charmed me.
That's the thing.
I thought she might get called up. You know, this felt like it was coming to its natural end, and the drafts get locked in on Monday. And I kind of thought she loses here, and then
it's wild when you see them all sat in the PC. There's millions of them, and there's like how many spaces? It makes you worried about the future.
Well, we've just lost one of our faves in Von Wagner, and I guess now we're reaching more of a... Has there ever been a point in the Performance Center's history where the sort of the difference between like glory and despair is as small as it is? Like, you have this... Like, I'm not negging anyone here, but like, take a... So Blair Davenport's just lost her big program, and it was clearly as a way... Well, we're finishing up
doing business on the way out, like the dead man mandates.
The dead man insists you take a surfboard to the head before you leave the territory.
Yes, that's right? What you have to do.
Get a beach ball bouncing off that bonds of yours. So she does that, and now she's off to Raw. Surely JC Jane is in a similar position, and she's been on the developmental longer.
Yeah.
Like, is this bad? Is she, like what is next for either of these two, other than you kind of got to go for it? Like,
yeah.
I'm saying WWE, you have to sort of go for it with these people, because we're looking at like what, 2 years apiece of both these, and longer for Jason. She had the Toxic Attraction thing with Mandy Rose for like a year.
She's been around for ages.
So
I don't know. Obviously, the babyface has to win, and I think so. And if she does, guess what? I might enjoy it, and I'm also going to enjoy almost a guarantee at this point. Uber Femi versus Ivar competing for the North American title. I don't see Ivar winning. It seems pretty predictable, but I don't care. It's the good kind of predictable. Uber Femi should be built like a monster. He should not be losing anytime soon. And this is one of the rare... This is happening. You have to watch it happening. And you know what's going to happen. But my God, the ceiling on this is so fun and so daft that it's... This has got sleeper hit potential. Mm. Is this sort of match that even the worst people on Twitter will be like, oh, you know what, that was good.
I want to praise and criticise WWE in equal measures around this match, Sidge. Not like me. I know sometimes I'm going two-footed on this company, but I'm going to offer them a bit of praise first. I love this match. Obviously, I do.
Is this what you were talking about in the office downstairs?
Yeah.
So in the office, Hamflet says he's done some sleuthing.
I'm unhappy with a significant plot hole that's to do with NXT and the draft.
But why would you care about NXT's plotting?
Well, it's more to do with overall bigger picture Fed plotting.
Okay.
And that's the kind of stuff that like sends me to sleep and keeps me awake.
It's the last thing you think of at night and the first thing you think of in the morning. God,
exactly,
damn it.
Right.
Triple H is booking. You are.
Thank you, Sidge.
You are so a ready salted crisp of a man.
You've covered it. I'm getting some crisp at my lunch now. You just said it. You talked my lunch into existence. I'm going to go to Tesco's and Zinner, just cheese, ready salted, sparkling water.
Sparkling water.
I do like sparkling water.
Do you?
Yeah.
Of course you do. It's fed.
I like
sparkling water is an abomination.
I like fizzy drinks, and if I'm trying to have less of them, sparkling water feels
fewer.
I'm going to do that forever. If I'm trying to have less of them, it's a way to fool myself into thinking, I'm still getting that nice carbonated buzz, but it's just not got as many calories in, or it's not got the caffeine in or whatever. So it's sort of like it's a replacement for the Coke or the Cherry Pepsi Max or the Do.
Methadone pop.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
It's going to be great. Who cares? But it's good developmental for WWE because on Raw, with the return of Braun Strowman and sort of Ivar jump between and the eventual call-up of Uber Femi, which will come sooner than a lot of the wrestling NXT, low-key, weirdly, the closest WWE has to the Tony Khan graphic drop is a beef division match. Have you noticed this? Like, Braun Strowman's just returned. They've still held on to Gunther. They booked this. They've just pulled this out of their ass.
We thought we were getting Meat Madness. It's stand and deliver, oi.
And you can actually make it work. Sheamus has just come back, promising banger after banger. Triple H insists on pressing Bronson Reed until we're all dead, right? So, I don't want to watch him.
He's going to wrestle that Bronson lead.
Bury the lead, if you ask me. I don't want to watch him anymore. But nonetheless, he's in his big man matches for Ivar. There's loads of them. There's absolutely loads of these, and all of a sudden now...
You could forget Karrion Kross?
Most people.
Yes, indeed.
Typically the problem. But that's the graphic drop, isn't it?
I once described myself at university as a patter caddy.
A patter caddy? Kind of like you're there to...
I was always teaming people up, man, honestly. It was great.
This graphic, this match, everything that is in your head is everything it'll be. And I think WWE are doing quite a good job with this at the moment. And it's the sort of stuff that they seem to have assembled on Raw.
Keep talking. Apparently Google's dropped and I've literally 9,000 words into a doc that I'm going to have to copy and paste. Somewhere.
Oh, brother. Well, I want to talk about a plot hole, Sidge.
Okay.
A big one.
Okay, let's go.
Uber Femi is the North American champion, right? So, couldn't be drafted. He wasn't a guy that... I only learned the rules yesterday. I couldn't get them in my head. No champions could be drafted, which I thought was pooer. But no champions could be drafted. So Uber Femi wasn't able to go to Raw SmackDown this time. Not that he would have been ready. But no NXT champions could. Right? Last week on NXT, Trick Williams faced the stipulation, win the NXT title or leave NXT forever, yeah?
Yeah.
He won the NXT title. So he gets to...
Phew, I've backed it up.
Got it, you're all right.
Back there, here, sir.
So he's NXT champion.
Who is? What's the plot hole? Sorry, I'm not listening.
It's all right. Trick Williams wins the NXT title last week, right? He's NXT champion. Yeah, all is well. Had he have lost, he would have had to leave NXT, and they're not going to fire him, so presumably he's got to find his fortunes on Raw SmackDown. Started from the bottom, but he's going to make it somehow. Right? That would have been Trick Williams' story if he'd lost, but he won. He won, thus making him ineligible to be drafted, along with Roxanne Perez, along with Obafemi, who was sat there in the performance centre. It could be me. He couldn't. Roxanne Perez has wanted to win the title for a year, has won it, and has just robbed herself of getting called up to Raw SmackDown as a result of winning that title.
Yes.
Who did get called up last night? Ilya Dragunov, the loser of the title match. It made more sense to lose your title in April in NXT than win it.
Yeah.
Because you ruled yourself out of a call-up. You ruled yourself out of that big, fat Raw SmackDown contract.
Yeah.
That's really bad booking.
Conceptually, NXT, the dirty secret is that it's never really worked. Never once worked because, I mean, the booking has a lot to do with this, and Levesque, honestly, is almost as bad as Vince McMahon, and not enough people talk about it in terms of this process, which he should be way more, it should be way more synergistic now, and it just simply isn't. The fundamental flaw all along was, oh my God, I can't wait for this hot new wrestler to shake up Raw and SmackDown. I've been following them on NXT for 2 years, and that's almost at the midway point of please go away for a while. We've talked about with Jericho. It's
supposed to be like a jump.
Even with Mox, it never has the feeling of a jump, ever, ever. It never has, and I don't think it ever will.
Sami Zayn, I would say, before he injured his arm in the entrance, the John Cena Open Challenge. Oh, my God, they're actually doing it. And
yeah,
they're
Kevin
in his
Owens.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but because they weren't in, like, Kevin Owens was barely in it, though, that's the problem.
Yeah.
He was barely in NXT, if you look, going down the line now. It just never really worked conceptually. Logically, it's never worked. As you've just pointed out, I keep telling you, Fedbad. Obafemi versus Ivar, if they hit the ceiling, what a fun monster mash. Basically, I'm going to rate this out of 3. I need 3 moments of how the hell have you done that? I'm going to be pounding my chest big time. 2 more matches to get through. But before we do that, obviously, we know Wilborn isn't here.
Yeah.
In a weird, weird coincidence, nor is Stax. I've been reliably informed that Stax is unable to make it. I think there might be inclement weather conditions.
Okay. Yeah.
So he's not been able to get off the runway. Now, I cannot. He is inimitable. So really, I can't really imitate him. But people demand jokes on the NXT podcast.
Right, yeah.
So I've got 3 questions, three jokes for you.
Okay. Hamfield. Stax does that.
He does, doesn't he? But I thought I'm going to try and channel him a little bit. But first, I need to know, what's the deal with spring?
Spring, it's one of the 4 seasons, Sige, alongside winter, summer, and autumn, or as American listeners would say,
fall.
I like fall.
I like fall.
Because it reminds me of the clock's rule. Spring forward, fall back. Nobody's ever autumned back, have they?
No.
So I like the Americans' contribution to the language there.
But autumnal.
Oh, I like just autumnal.
That word.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
It denotes certain colours.
Colours.
Like a wintry weather that isn't disruptive. It's not wind and rain. It's just a nice
chill. Cardigan weather in October is absolutely goated. The smells in the air. The feeling. Oh, my God.
Unpopular opinion, but I don't hate the slightly darker mornings. I'm actually kind of ready for them. Your kids sleeping a little bit longer, that sort of thing. But spring, sort of the opposite of all that, but nice in its own way. You're starting, certainly in the UK at least, you're starting to get warmer weather, if not boiling hot. Little beads of dew form on the grass. There's a certain smell in the air. People have got the lawnmowers out for the first time, so you're starting to get the freshly cut grass. If you're predisposed to wearing shorts, as I like to, you're getting the shorts on for the first time in spring. WrestleMania typically happens, so you're riding a high. Spring, baby.
It's funny because I didn't know what the deal with spring was, and now, much like Neo in The Matrix, this happens to me and Stax, you instantly get implanted with all the knowledge of spring to such an extent that you can then make jokes about them. I had a lovely spring moment of, oh, Jesus, that's what the sun looks like. That's what, oh, my God, oh, well-being. That's what you are. Ah, I forgot about you. I just took the kids on an impromptu after-school bike ride last night.
That sort of stuff comes up.
Yeah.
Because, like,
what the hell not?
We've got a field near us, but when it's winter, it's always raining, so it's too boggy to play football, and the nights are pretty dark. All of a sudden, kick about at 6 o'clock.
A little, like...
And they're going to go to sleep easier, and it's just a nice...
And they're in a nicer mood.
They can't believe, like, they think school, tea, maybe a bit of telly, and then bed. That's what they know in their head. So when you blow their goddamn mind,
it's always
bonus,
such a
outside time.
Lovely little wholesome evening in the spring, which I now am aware of and enjoy.
If you could lift yourself out of your body and look at it, you're like... Am I filming a Centre Parks advert? I think I might be. It's one of the few times, like, I hate this sort of, like, I can't adult. It's like it's one of those few times where you're like, am I adulting successfully?
Yes.
I feel like you want somebody, you want to bump into somebody. How me? I'm just out with the kids. Like, arrest me. Guilty being too good a dad, if anything. You really want to bump into people in that moment. Instead,
and I did.
They catch you in Asda when you're rain-soaked and you're shouting at one of them. Like, yeah. You just, it's like the end of your tether, but they've not seen the rest of the tether getting eroded.
Yeah. You never I had a moment where James stood on the bike ride yesterday and he ran one of his schoolmates who was walking the dog alongside his mom.
Mm.
I was like, oh, your thing looks more like an obligation.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have to walk your dog. I don't have to do this. I'm just a good dad. I don't want to.
And you know how the conversations, you know, the spider diagram, like the going home conversations. Oh, I saw the Sidgwick earlier on. He's great with them kids, isn't he?
And then, dad, sure am.
Dad's gone to work today, like, and he's had a quick spy on your social. Oh, what's his secret? What's his secret? Wrestling podcaster, is it? Well, welcome.
Welcome.
That friend. This is the secret right here.
This is what we got down to. So three questions, three jokes there. Joke number one, question joke number one. When is it impossible to plant flowers?
Now you've not the use of the
picture
word.
Picture that.
I'm trying. He's not used the word.
You just can't do it. When is it impossible to plant flowers?
Now, because you've not used a certain word, despite asking me about the meaning of a word, I'm going to say when they spring back up.
That is so bad.
Okay. I'm imagining the flowers have got springs attached.
Poor. When is it impossible to plant flowers? When you haven't botany.
Oh, very good. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. I couldn't, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all right.
Joke question number
That's two. All right.
Just for fun now.
Yeah.
We've lost the game.
Yeah. It's never
what
fun.
What did the tree say during springtime?
Tree.
During springtime.
Yeah. Oh. Things grow back on trees in the spring before they fall again in the fall. Mm-hmm. Ah, is that what they call it, fall? Because the leaves fall. Americans love the literal stuff, don't they? Is that what it is?
Oh, my God, that's what it is.
Wow.
It's weird that they don't call winter cold.
Hey, what are you doing for snow season? Shout out to what we know to be the biggest audience of this podcast.
Yes,
our American friends.
Oh, my God, I can't wait for sun hat.
That's why I moved to Vegas. It's kind of sun hot 11 months of the year. Hate old rainy April, but you live with it for 11 months of sun hot.
Oh, God, it's getting real cold out here. Can't wait for green. Well, I'm sick of brown. Can't wait for green. Love the Yanks. Met so many nice ones.
They're the best of us. Live in the best country. Everything's the best there.
What did the tree say during springtime?
Think I'm going to leaf.
No, but that's not bad, because you're so close.
Oh,
good,
okay.
But it's not right.
Yeah, Stack says that.
What did the tree say during springtime? Well, this is a relief.
Ah!
R-E-L-E-A-F. Hamlet, what do you call a flower that comes too early?
Oh, God!
You have to edit that.
You
have to edit that. What do you call a flower that comes too early?
Some flowers do come early than you were expecting, and it's nothing to do with knobs or spunking. But I can't have a feeling like that's broadly the direction
it's
this is going to go in.
Not really.
No.
I couldn't find any dirty ones on Google, so I've reverse engineered a different punchline.
What's the setup again, please?
With my setup. What do you call a flower that comes too early?
I don't know. Go on.
Well, this is funny.
All right.
Because I don't really get this joke that I've written.
What
do you call a flower that comes too early? Because this punchline makes that sound bad, but I've been reliably informed that's not a problem. What do you call a flower that comes too early? A whoopsie daisy.
Oh,
that makes it sound bad, though.
It makes it sound like a mistake, when, if anything, like that set amount of time is the ideal amount of time, so you've been told.
The only amount of time.
The longer the marriage goes on.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for me.
Is there anything about the size of the flower? Because I understand that, like, some flowers are too big, if anything. So, like that.
Oh, what about those sunflowers that just, like, go too big in your garden? It's
the size of the flower doesn't matter. That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
Still pollinates. Twice. Yeah. Until the doctors do something about it, and then you don't pollinate no more.
At least. Debut match tonight.
Sin. S-I-N.
Tyson DuPont and Tariq Igwe versus the Good Brothers. I think it's time for for this debuting act to learn how to grab a goddamn hold, do a minimal amount of work for a few minutes, and then go to the finish. What do you think?
That doesn't sound like the kind of night the Good Brothers want to have.
I could skip this.
We back a lot of these
tag
teams. I
could skip this. I know you're the analyst and I'm the host, but I'm just going to interject one second. I reckon I could skip this.
Yeah.
Just very, what's the word I'm looking for here? Just very sarcastically give that word-for-word review tomorrow, and it would just be accurate.
One of, like, either Tyson or Tariq have got to have something that is either worthy of a GIF, something that penetrates the discourse, anything like that. There's got to be something that they do, because I kind of think they'll get beat. NXT has this weird thing where, like, considering that how many people they suddenly do.
Oh, look, I think they're going to show some ruthless aggression here. Maybe lose valiantly. Hey, shake my hand. You did a good job. You ain't going to beat the big boys yet, but you did a good job.
So
you earned my respect.
It's so fake feeling, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, oh, great. You earned that respect. Well, like, you've wasted my time.
Luke Gallows has no respect for anything.
Nothing. It's not a single goddamn thing.
Irreverent. Quids in bloke of all time.
Yeah.
The idea of an endorsement from them two, who, to their immense credit, they just don't take it seriously and don't have to take it seriously. And that's their brand.
Slow it down, guys.
Slow it down. Yeah. I can't be arsed.
Ain't getting paid by the hour. Yeah.
Hey, look, man, the birds are chirping. It's green. So let's just enjoy the spring.
I'd like to think that there's something in this match that is just worthy of more conversation than, well, the guys, the young guns.
Did you catch the time you swear, by the way?
Oh, I'll go back and find it. It's fine. I think I said God instead of the F word. It's all right. Like, they don't make you bleep that, apart from in certain states at certain times. The Good Brothers run hasn't panned out as we expected, has it? We thought they'd get into the Stand and Deliver card, and instead, like, the Wolf Dogs were just too over. So maybe they'll lose. Maybe the Good Brothers will lose. Maybe the young guns, maybe they'll get the first victory. Maybe it's not just going to be the usual way they debut these guys. Because what happens is that they debut, and then because they get beat, and it's like, yeah, you earned our respect, but here's 6 months getting your ass beat. Like, they don't get anywhere.
Gotta pay, you know, no one gets in, gotta pay your goddamn dues.
Pay your goddamn dues.
Gotta pay, what's his first dinner?
Who do you think's going to win this?
I don't give a goddamn rat's ass, to be perfectly honest. The match is going to suck.
Sure is.
It sure is. You know what,
and
might
then
not.
On podcast, my match of the week goes to Gallows and Anderson's victory on NXT on Tuesday. You watch it. I didn't realize.
You might learn a thing or two.
Business is still alive, unlike me, who was dead for 40 years.
I still was best. in a match that could actually be really good, provided they still have it. We have got Axiom.
Nerd!
His tag team partner and co-tag team champion of NXT, Nathan Fraser.
When I'm cleaning windows.
They're going up against a team who we know can go in the right spot, but unfortunately they're with Karrion Kross, so there's no right spot for them no more. And that is the Authors of Pain.
Yeah. One of my favourite acts to watch get carried once upon a time. It hit me today that the Authors of Pain, we're talking about Paul Ellering.
Well, this is a powerbomb people's faces against each other. Don't do that.
Super Collider's goated, right? The Authors of Pain.
What a name for a finish as well.
Bodies are crashing into each other, right? High fives with people's spines. It's good stuff, right? But the Authors of Pain and Paul Ellering, the whole deal, the whole presentation, they're like, oh, they're dangerous. You can beat them, you can run like rings around them, but if they catch you, you're done for, right?
Yeah, Dunsky.
That little, and like FTR and Ciampa and Gargano had that wonderful three-way that time where they had to borrow each other stuff. Like, let's put over how difficult a task this is by embracing what we hate just to try and win. Such a lovely agented three-way tag that was. It was like, here we go again. Like, 7 to 8 years ago, it's Rock and Austin's Attitude Era runs combined since Authors of Pain with that. And yet it's so wild that the game Triple H, as awesome as he is, just in his brain put so many of those wrestlers on pause and then got the pencil there. Just press play and thought that everything would be the same.
I know.
It's mental, isn't it?
He's a fraud.
Perfect example of it, the Authors of Pain. Like, the Authors of Pain, for about 2 years, we're doing now, really. Remember Drake Maverick dressing up as them and then pissing his pants?
Yeah.
That whole run, right? Then they were, like, trying to get off the ground with that weird NFT show and Nia Jax in the main event. They've lived lives.
Seth Rollins' mates.
Yeah, yeah. in that car without a chair that turned around.
Yeah, yeah.
They've lived lives. And Triple H is like, nope, they didn't. You smashed Ciampa and Gargano and won the belts. And then nothing happened. And here yes. you are. And we just have to go, okay, Paul.
I don't have to do nothing.
Okay, Paul, let's see how it goes. It's just weird. It's weird to me. This you're right, though.
This is the best shot they have.
Chemistry, this should work great.
Dynamic contrast. Yeah. We've got to the two best workers now that Dragunov's not there anymore, like by some distance on that entire roster. This is the best possible shot of the Authors of Pain being good. The idea of, like, Fraser just fizzing about and then just, like, doing a big, nice theatrical tumble off one of their bellies.
The belt's on the line here.
Bumping out of the ropes. This could be awesome. I didn't check.
If they're not, I know, like... I think
probably.
They probably are. Probably are. If they're not, beat the champions for me, because...
Really, already?
Well, no, really put over, like, right now the Austin Payne get a shot. This is a contenders match, whatever you want to call it. Like, and Nathan Frazier and Axiom have done what they think is their best, but they've got to find that extra gear to beat them second time around, because you could do a good job of, like a shock, like a... Like Big Bill, Ricky Starks, FTR-style squash, but not for the titles, and Nathan Frazier and Axiom go,
bloody hell.
They're behind me, aren't we?
Oh my God, they're right behind us, if anything. They're right on our trail.
We've got to start considering things a bit more.
Yeah.
And then they build that into the psychology of the rematch in which
Jesus
they win.
Jesus Christ, it looks like I've been knocked over by a track. Or as we say in Jersey, a lorry.
It's a good job I'm fast. I never would have been out
running. The Authors of Pain look like they've written our story, Axiom, and it looks like the ending's not very happy.
I was looking at your face to know if they were close to me, and then yet again I remembered your mask completely obscures it. If it's for the belts, they retain. If not, I actually don't mind them getting beat here. And having, I think it adds nicely to a rematch this time for the titles, but I think it probably is for the belts, and I think they probably retain. Should be all right, this. I'm quite into it.
Should be really good. I'm actually perversely and earnestly looking forward to this show. Maybe the NXT magic's back for me. Let's see about
NXT
that.
PLEs are kind of like the AEW ones. Like, even if you're not so sure,
you can follow us all
yeah.
on social media if you're daft enough to go on X at WhatCultureWWE. Whilst you're there, you can follow Michael Hamflet at
Michael Hamflet.
You can follow me at MSidgwick. Don't forget to subscribe. We've got the Raw review dropping later today, and we will be back tomorrow to review NXT Spring Breaking, dudes. Not pressing the button. Goodbye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.